17, text number 36,
Yes.
Nunam
Janair
Itam Isvaranam Asman Vidais Tadguna Sarga Mayaya Gayati Mohita Chitta Vartmabhis Tebhyo Namo Mira Yashash Karebhyaha. Nunam Janayi Hitam Ishvara. That's not going to work either. Nunam jana itam isvaranam.
Nunam jana itam isvaranam.
Asmad vidais tad gunasarga mayaya.
Asmad vidais tad gunasarga
mayaya. Na jayate mohita chitta vartmabhis. Tebhyo namo virajasas harebhyaha.
Tebhyo namo virajasas
harebhyaha. Asmad vidais tad guna sarga mayaya.
Asmad vidais tad guna sarga mayaya.
Nagayate mohita chitta vartmavis.
Nagayate mohita chitta vartmavis.
Tebhyo namo virayasas karebhyaha.
Tebhyo namo virayasas karebhyaha.
Nunam janair ihitam ishvaranam. Asmad vidais tad guna sarga mayaya.
Asmad vidais tad guna sarga mayaya.
Nagayate mohita chitta vartmabhis.
Nagayate mohita chitta vartmabhis.
Tebhyo namo virayasas karebhyaha.
Tebhyo namo virayasas karebhyaha.
Nunam.
Surely.
Janai, by the people in general.
Ihitam,
activities.
Ishvaranam,
of the controllers. Asmat
vidai,
like me.
Tat,
of the personality of Godhead.
Guna,
of the modes of material nature.
Sarga,
which bring forth creation.
Maya,
by your energy.
Na,
never.
Gayate,
are understood.
Mohita,
bewildered.
Chitta,
whose minds.
Vartmabhis,
way.
Tebhyaha,
unto them.
Namaha,
obeisances.
Virayasha karebhyaha.
who bring renown in it to heroes themselves. Translation. My dear Lord, I am also the creation of one of your energies, composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your activities. Even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood. And what to speak of your pastimes? That everything appears to us to be contrary and wonderful. Translation, please repeat. My dear Lord, I am also the creation of one of your energies, composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your activities. Even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood. And what to speak of your pastimes? Thus everything appears to us to be contradictory and wonderful. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His various forms and incarnations are always uncommon and wonderful. It is not possible for a tiny human being to estimate the purpose and plan of such activities. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless the Lord's activities are accepted as inconceivable, they cannot be explained. The Lord is eternally existing as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Goloka Vrindavan. He has also simultaneously expanded Himself in innumerable forms, beginning with Lord Rama, Lord Narasimha, and Lord Brahma, and all the incarnations coming directly from Sankarsana. Sankarsana is the expansion of Baladev, and Baladev is the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, all these incarnations are known as Kala. The word Ishvaranam refers to all the personalities of Godhead. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5:39, Namari Murtisu Kala Niyamena Tistan. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed that all the incarnations are partial expansions or Kala of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not take the plural number of the word Ishvaranam to mean that there are many Godheads. The fact is that God is one, but He exists eternally and expands Himself in innumerable forms and acts in various ways. Sometimes the common man is bewildered by all this and considers such activities contradictory. But they are not contradictory. There is a great plan behind all the Lord's activities. It's not coming. My goodness. I didn't know we got the page. For our understanding, it is sometimes said that the Lord is situated in the heart of the thief as well as in the heart of the householder. But the super soul in the heart of the thief dictates, go and steal from that particular house. And at the same time, the Lord tells the householder, now be careful of thieves and burglars. These instructions to different persons appear contradictory. Yet we should know that the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has some plan, and we should not consider such activities contradictory. The best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, and being protected by Him, remain peaceful. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 4th Canto, 17th chapter, the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Maharaj Pritu becomes angry at the earth. Nunam janar itam isparanam asmad vidaistad gunasarga mayaya nagayate mohita chitta vartmanis tebyo namo virayasas karebhyaha. My dear Lord, I am also the creation of your energies, composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your energies, activities. Even the activity of your devotees cannot be understood. And what to speak of your pastimes? Thus everything appears to us to be contradictory and wonderful. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Adati Swabhadam Digam Adadadastranandam Thayvidam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Tulisyam Jambadanmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpa Dhrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Patitanam Bhavaneyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. See, here Prithu Maharaj admits that the activities and pastimes of the Lord are inconceivable. It's impossible for us tiny living entities to understand the Lord. Therefore, we should give up trying to understand the Lord, right? If we can't do it, then what's the use of trying? But actually, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains though it's impossible for the living entity to understand the Lord can reveal Himself to the living entity. What is that famous verse? Tesam satad yuktanam bhajatam priti purvikam tadami buddha yogam tam jainamam upayanti te. Chapter 10, verse 10, easy to remember. Tesam, to those, tesam satata yuktanam. Yuktanam, just like we know the word yoga, comes from this yukt. Those who are always engaged, tesam satata yuktanam. What? Bhajatam, worshipping me, how? Priti pur, become with love. Those who worship me with love. Dadami, this is first person. Krishna says, I give them. Dadami buddhi. Buddhi means intelligence. Dadami buddhi yuktam. Jainam amupayanti te. By which they can come to me. So it's impossible for us to understand the Lord. Because the Lord is inconceivable. He's unlimited. Unlimited, and we're limited. We're cement. We're tiny spiritual sparks. So it's impossible for the limited to understand the unlimited. But by the definition of unlimited, it's possible for the unlimited to reveal himself to the limited. It's his activity. He's completely, he's inconceivable. He can do things that we cannot conceive, that a limited being can understand an unlimited being. It's impossible. But because that unlimited being is unlimited, there's no one to stop him from revealing himself to the tiny living entity. And where is the position that he reveals himself? Bhajatam priti purvakam. If we worship the Lord with love and devotion, then he reveals himself. We can't understand him, but he reveals himself to the living entity. So we have to come to that position of loving, devotional service. Otherwise his activities remain completely inconceivable. Even Prithu Maharaj's great Prithu Maharaj is admitting that Lord's activities are inconceivable. So though it's impossible for us to understand the Lord, we should not give up. But we should follow the Lord's prescription. We should worship Him with love and devotion. Krishna will reveal everything within the heart of the devotee. So Prabhupada makes very interesting point here. It says, Ishvaranam. If anybody knows anything about Sanskrit, you can understand this is plural. Just like, you know, Ishvara Paramakrishna. Ishvara, that's singular. Ishvara, the supreme control. Ishvaranam. Somebody may take it, just like most people understand the Vedic philosophy is many, many gods. But Krishna is inconceivable. There's only one God, but he appears in infinity of forms. Just like Prabhupada gives examples here, Lord Rama, Varaha, Nrisimha. So this appears to be contradictory. How can there be many personalities, but only one personality of God? This is the inconceivable pastimes, activities of the Lord. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain more or less the verse we were just quoting, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. So that supreme personality of God is Krishna. He has so many different expansions. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains, ete chamsa kala puntam. These are kala, the various manifestations of his personality. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of God. All these personalities are expansions of himself. It's not that there's many gods, but one God appearing in so many different forms. And sometimes kala means partial. But he says very clearly, Krishna's two. These are all kala, but Krishna's two and ams. Ete chamsa kala, ams are kala. But Krishna's two, Bhagavan, Swayam. Just like we may have so many candles, but there's one candle that lit all the candles. Once the candles are lit, they're all equal. You cannot say. But still, there's one candle. That was the original candle. So all the expansions of Godhead are coming from Krishna. He expands in so many wonderful incarnations and expansions. So Ishvaranam doesn't mean that we're worshipping so many different gods. But for Krishna's administration of the material world, he has so many demigods. And this is very simple to understand. Just like in the city, we have the Department of Sanitation, we have the Department of Health, we have the Department of Welfare, Department of... so many different departments, administration, like that. All different departments are there. Still there's one mayor, I don't know what you call it here, but mostly countries of the world, the chief guy in the city is the mayor. But there's so many different department heads. So like that, Krishna is the mayor of the whole universe, both material and spiritual worlds. But in these tiny, tiny universes, we think they're quite big, as the scientists are, for the last so many hundreds of years, are trying to understand even this one planet they cannot understand. What to speak of universe. But it is tiny. We understood there's billions and billions of unlimited universes in this material world. In each universe, there's so many different department heads, so they're very tiny. But those who are materialists, they're interested to get some benefit. If somebody worships Ganesh, somebody worships Shiva, somebody worships Parvati, to get some particular benefit. But if I have my connection with the mayor, then I can get all my activities done. If I have a good connection with the mayor, then any department I go to, immediately they will take care of my problem. Therefore, we don't worship different gods. There may be so many demigods. Those who are materialistic, they worship those demigods in order to achieve some material benefit. Even the devotee doesn't want material benefit, still Krishna takes care of his devotee. The devotee simply wants service. We saw the example of Sudama. His wife henpecked him finally that he went to Krishna to ask for something. Even he didn't ask, he got so
when he saw the opulence of Krishna's dwarka, he was totally astonished. He didn't know what to think, how I can ask him for something. And Krishna, although he was ruling in Dwarka as a great king, expanding in so many thousands of forms, still he got down and began to wash the feet of Sudama, and Rukmini was fanning him, the goddess of fortune herself was fanning him. And then Krishna asked, what, he brought some chipped rice, and chipped rice is a very cheap old thing. So Sudama was hiding that chipped rice. When he saw the opulence of Krishna, how can I have this chipped rice? It's this simple thing, a few paisa you can buy. So Krishna said, you must have brought, Krishna knows he's his friend, he won't come to see him without bringing something to offer. He said, what do you got? He said, I haven't done anything. What do you got there? And then he pulled it out. And then Sudama was trying to stop him from eating this simple, because he knows Krishna is living, he saw the opulence, he must be getting nice halava with lots of ghee, nice sweet rice with most wonderful milk and pakoras and samosas. What is this chipped rice in front of all these things? Trying to stop him. And Krishna said, why are you stopping? This is so nice. Because Krishna is not actually interested in our things. As we said from the beginning, bhajatam priti purvaka. It is love which Krishna is interested in. Even if somebody, just like it says patram, if somebody offers a leaf or a flower, and it's offered with love, Krishna accepts it as a very valuable thing. But even if somebody offers solid gold thing with no respect or any, Krishna doesn't care for that thing. So Sudama, he offered him just a little bit of chipped rice. Krishna ate. Even the goddess of fortune, she stopped, because she knew with every bite Krishna is becoming indebted, then we'll lose everything. The goddess of fortune, no, that's enough. And Sudama went to sleep, then he got up and took leave of his great friend Krishna, and he went back to Gujarat. Mm-hmm. When he got back, he saw he didn't ask Krishna for anything. But Krishna gave him a huge palace. His wife was dressed in silken sari with golden and silver threads, with gold ornaments, with diamonds and rubies and pearls, and so beautiful palace, beautiful grounds. Krishna didn't ask Krishna for anything. But Krishna takes care of his devotee. And sometimes, just like here it says, the Lord's activities appear contradictory. Most of the time we see the devotees there in poverty-stricken condition. But Sudama, his devotion was pakka. He wasn't going to be... Because generally, our business is, we pray to the Lord, we're in trouble. Just like one time we opened up a temple in Dallas, Texas, many, many years ago, 1970. And we were doing Harinam down the street, and there was a big fancy travel agency there. So the guy called us inside to see what is this all about. These shaved heads with funny pigtails and orange bed sheets. You know, he wanted to know what it was all about. As soon as he found us about God, he said, well, I'm an atheist. He said, but you know, when I'm up there in the plane, I pray. He said, I don't believe in God, but when I'm up there in the plane, I pray. So this is our nature. When we're in trouble, then we pray. As soon as trouble is gone, then we forget about God. As soon as we're in good position, then we forget about it. What does that say? There's one nice Hindi saying. Dukme simran sab kare, sukme kare na koi. Agar sukme simran kare, kaam ke dukha hoy. In unhappiness, everybody remembers the Lord. In happiness, nobody remembers the Lord. But if we remember the Lord even in happiness, then how bad times will come. How unhappiness will come. So sometimes Krishna keeps his devotees in difficulty. It seems contradictory. But just like we see, if you read the prayers of Queen Kunti, it's most astonishing. She comes before the Lord and she prays, let me see all those difficulties again and again. And we're surprised to hear this prayer. We're coming every day before the Lord. Oh, please give me a break. We're always praying for something. Give me this, give me that. And Kunti, she's praying, I want to see all those difficulties again and again. Why is that? This is most surprising. We're always praying that Krishna, please take away all my difficulties. Give me some good thing. Give me a job and a car and a house by the sea, Swami Jaya Jagadish Hari. The Kunti's praying, I want to see all those difficulties again and again. Why? Because every time we were in difficulty, we had nothing to do except turn to you. And so you came to see us again and again. So I want to see all those difficulties again and again, because that means seeing you again and again. And what is the benefit of seeing the Lord again and again? Then we won't see birth, death, disease, old age again and again. Just like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narad Muni, he comes to see Maharaj Yudhisthira and he's praising Maharaj Yudhisthira, such great devotees. Shh. If anybody hears that we're devotees of Krishna, because we saw in Mahabharata, the Pandavas, they had to face so many difficulties. At least to our material eyes, it appeared to be trouble. He says, don't tell anybody that we're great devotees. Then who will know who will become devotee of Krishna? It's like we were just in Singapore. Singapore just next to Malaysia. Malaysia, no, don't worship that Krishna fellow. Everybody worships Amma. She will give so many things. It's Krishna with that flute. He'll blow away all your things. If they worship Krishna, you'll see, and if you go to Sindhi temple in Malaysia, they'll never put flute in it. If you put that flute, all your wealth is gone. So don't tell anybody that we're, he told Narad Muni, don't tell anybody we're great devotees, and then who will become devotee of the Lord? The Pandavas, because by Queen Kunti's prayer, we understand it was actually, just like I joined in Boulder, Colorado, in America, in the Rocky Mountains. So nearby was Denver, that's where we used to go. The big city nearby, capital, was Denver. It was just a half hour away. So we used to go there to do Harinam. So it's at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. In the winter time, it's very cold and snowy. So there was one big shopping center where they had a nice wide sidewalk. Because in America, if chanting on the streets is your religion, they can't stop you. But if you block traffic, then they'll catch you on that one. But there was a nice, the wall came like this, then it was indented like this. So we would chant and then indentation and the sidewalk was free. So the police didn't bother us. So we would be chanting there and it would be below zero. It was freezing. It would be below freezing. And we'd have all our mittens and our caps and everything and we'd be chanting. And everybody else on the street was walking down the street. And all the devotees, we had smiled from ear to ear. And all the people, some people told me, why you guys are here suffering like this? But we were smiling from ear to ear. Because we were concentrating on the holy name so hard, because it was so freezing cold, we just concentrated on the holy name, such concentration, we were in ecstasy. Outside, everybody's all these poor guys, and one guy told me, your guru's probably in Hawaii enjoying himself, and you're out here freezing cold. But we were in ecstasy. In fact, one girl, she came down the street, she saw the devotees, and everybody else is so cold. Everybody else is grimacing. And the devotees are smiling from ear to ear. And she stopped, she couldn't move. And finally her hands began to get cold. She had to run into the shopping center and buy some gloves to come back. And she eventually became a devotee. Because she was so amazed. Nobody else on the street, everybody else was suffering. The devotees that appeared to be suffering, but actually internally the devotees were experiencing great ecstasy. So this is the contradictory things Devotee appears to be in distress, but because he's remembering Krishna, he's always in great ecstasy. So we have to, from these great devotees, learn to how to remember the Lord favorably. Our Rupa Goswami has said, what is it? Anya vilasitaya sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam. That we should always remember the Lord anukul. Anumukul means favorably. Just like King Kans, he's also remembering the Lord. In fact, I'm envious. As King comes, he's remembering the Lord so intensely. 24 hours a day, he's remembering Krishna. We have Bhagavatam class, we remember Krishna a little bit, then we go about our work all day long, we forget, and then sometime in the middle, he said that in the class today. But comes 24 hours a day, he's remembering Krishna so intensely that his servant brought some water. It was on a silver tali with a nice silver glass, so the silver was reflecting all the colors of the palace. So Kansi looked up, he saw something shining and colorful is coming. Immediately called the guard, guards, guards, that Krishna has come, kill him, that dust has come, kill him, that rascal has come, kill him, kill him. Hare Maharaj, I just brought your water. Even seeing water, Kansi was seeing Krishna. Just like when you all come to Vrindavan, now it's very cold, but most of the year, just like one person told me, I heard there's six seasons, but I only see hot, hotter and hottest. So everybody's, the first word that you learn in Hindi is Pani. Devotees always ask, Prabhu, where's Pani? We come to Vrindavan to find out Krishna, and we're just looking for water. Prabhu, where's the bathroom? It's the difference between us and six Goswamis. The six Goswamis are running around. Hey Radhe, Radha Devi, Hey Chalade, Hey Nandasuno Kuta. Kuta means where? Where is Radharani? Where is Lalita? Where is Krishna? They go over down the hill and they side of the Jamuna, the end of the Kadamba tree. And we're running around asking, where's water? So, Kant's even seeing water, he was seeing Krishna. The cook, he made a nice lunch for King Kams. He put on a silver tali with silver katori, a silver glass of water and some juice, some few flowers. And he brought it to King Kams. From a distance, King Kams saw something shining and colorful is coming. He called out to the guards, guards, that dust is coming, that Krishna is coming, kill him, kill him, kill him. The cook said, Are Maharaj, I brought your lunch. Now tell me truthfully, on the Sunday feast, when you see that big gulab jamun sitting on your plate, do you see Krishna? But Kant, even seeing his lunch, he was seeing Krishna. He's so Krishna conscious. Kant says, two wives, Asti and Prati, they decorated themselves very nicely with beautiful crowns and jewelries and everything. They came before their Lord. And he called out, both have come, Krishna Balaram, they both came, kill them, kill them, kill them, Krishna. Hare Maharaj, it's us, your wives. Now tell me truthfully, when you see your wife, do you see Krishna? But Kant's even seeing his wives, even seeing Krishna. He's so Krishna conscious. But he's thinking how to kill Krishna. Pratikul. Our business is anukul, how to remember Krishna favorably. So Brija Maharaj is praying here, just remembering how Krishna is totally inconceivable. Nobody, even Lord Brahma, the 14th chapter of 10th canto of Lord Brahma, says anybody and everyone can say they understand Krishna, but as for me, I don't understand anything about him. I don't understand. This is Lord Brahma. He's got four heads to figure everything out. What to speak of ourselves with only one little head, and that's so disturbed in this Kali Yuga. The Lord Brahma says anybody and everyone can say they understand Krishna, but I don't understand anything. He's inconceivable. Therefore, we should, Prabhupada says here, what is that? Very sweet, yeah, he says. Therefore, the best course is to surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, and being protected by Him, remain peaceful. So if we want peace in our lives, then we have to surrender wholeheartedly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Does anybody has any question or comment? Yes, Prabhupada.
Dinbandhu Prabhu, why so much importance is given to the lotus feet of Krishna? What is that nectar, sweet nectar in the lotus feet?
Well, lotus, it sits on the water, but it's untouched by the water. Do we have any botanical garden here with lotus? You see, even if the water comes on the leaf, it still doesn't touch the leaf. It just, this is an example in that one song. Kamala Dala Dala. At any moment, it's not sticking to the ordinary leaves. The water sticks to the leaf. But this is just sitting there. At any minute, the breeze will blow. You see, the water comes a little ball on the lotus leaf. If you've ever seen it, it's amazing. If you haven't seen it, it's hard to describe. So Krishna is in this material world, but he's untouched by this material world. And for us, the most important thing is those lotus feet that are described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami, that they're the boat that will take us across this ocean of material existence. And then Sukadeva Goswami says, somebody may have some doubt, because he says in the beginning of 10th canto that all the great sages in the past, they have taken that boat of the lotus feet of Krishna across this ocean of material existence. So we're stuck here on this side. The boat already left. All the sages in the past, they took the boat to the other side. Now we're stuck here. What are we going to do? He says, no, that boat is so wonderful. If you just go near that boat, the whole ocean of material existence becomes a little drop of water and you step across. The boat is still waiting on this side. Don't worry. It's still there on this side. You just approach it, the whole ocean becomes a little drop of water and you step across. So that's why Krishna's lotus feet are so important to us. It's like you see, we're all interested to see the picture of Krishna's smile. But I remember Kumbh Mela when a very cultured gentleman came, and there were so many pictures there. And he was adoring the picture of Krishna's smile. He said, no, I want this one with Krishna's lotus feet. We should be very interested. Because we want to become humble. To look someone in the face, that means we're equals. But if we're humble, then we'll look down. Just like Arjuna, he sat at Krishna's lotus feet. And Duryodhana, he sat right by the face. I think Krishna will wake up, he'll see me. But Arjuna sat by the lotus feet. Krishna looked up and he saw Arjuna first. So the lotus feet is the most important. That will save us from this material existence. So there's no other question, and we can fall down to the very soft and wonderful. One more, all right, yes.
Can I ask you, Maharaj?
Yes.
How do you qualify to get such a service in Vrindavan? All the visitors, everybody, you are teaching them the glory of Krishna and past things.
I don't know, some special mercy of Prabhupada. I don't have any.
You like to tell us how you pleased Prabhupada so much, he gave you such a wonderful service.
I don't know anything about pleasing Prabhupada. I just know the devotees come and they want to know about Vrindavan. So I have no hope of serving Krishna or Prabhupada, so I'm serving the Vaishnavas. So I assume that's the trick. If you want to become very attached to Vrindavan, then you have to serve Vaishnavas. I don't know who is Krishna. I don't even Prabhupada. If Prabhupada says here that activities of devotees are in Kasiva, I don't know who is Prabhupada. Now I just crossed 69. And Prabhupada started out at 69. And already, I think, just like whole day, practically we slept yesterday. But I watched Prabhupada come off the plane, come to the temple and give class. I don't know how he did it. He's inconceivable.
That's inconceivable.
So now I can, I'm beginning to understand a little bit about Prabhupada. He was inconceivable. What he did was inconceivable. Now we just, all of us, all my god brothers and sisters, we're all getting close to that age, you know, and that's when Prabhupada, we're all ready to retire, and that's when Prabhupada started.
Most amazing.
And he just kept going around. We're ready, all right, let's just stay in Vrindavan. Now it's too much trouble to travel. But Prabhupada started out at that age. He's inconceivable. So we want to advance in Krishna consciousness. The main thing is to serve the devotees. We don't know Krishna, we can see the devotees, we can help them in their service. Just like now Krishna's, the Prabhupada marathon is going on. You could help the devotees somehow. If you can go out and distribute books, that's nice. If you can't, then you help somehow or another. Just like in India, we always have devotees sponsors so we can, Bhagavad Gita maybe 100 rupees, we sell it for 50 rupees. Mm-hmm. Then they fly like garam jalebis, bing, bing. Just like before we came, we went to Chippewada temple, and because now the devotees purchased that place. And they're fixing it up, all carved marble and carved wood, very beautiful place. I found out the name of the Radha Krishna deities there is Radha Ballabha. So we were just there at that place. And I forgot what I was going to say. Do you remember Chippewada?
Distributing books.
Senior
book,
huh?
Distributing books.
How did you know?
I can't remember the point that I was going to make. Anyway, senior moment. Anyway, if you know the questions, we can all fall down to the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who is teaching us how to surrender wholeheartedly to Krishna. See the Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.